This hour brought to you by GCNLife.com. Live younger, look younger, feel younger at GCNLife.com.
The holidays, Thanksgiving, a week away. Many of you will hit the highways. They say 50 million plus will fly, combination of planes, trains, automobiles, but it will be, you know, kind of a crazy scenario out there if you are traveling. But hey, if you're traveling, that means you're either traveling for fun with family or friends or whatever. But if you're going someplace you're going to celebrate, that's a good thing. Whatever you're doing, have fun. Have fun. In fact, it's 50 million plus on the road. 30.6 million projected will travel by air in this kind of 12 days around Thanksgiving. Sometimes people take a whole week off or they just take a couple days off. It kind of depends. It depends. Last year I was traveling. We took the show and went to Florida. This year staying put in the homeland, meaning the nest, staying in the nest. So there you go. Sadly, as I kick off this hour, I have to do this because so many of you, and I agree, I feel the same way. We're horrified by what's happening in California and wish we could do something to help the people. But there's, what can you do? It's the shock, the aftermath, the rebuilding, but they're not even there yet. Because you got 56 people who are dead, the deadliest fire, the campfire, they're calling it, right around Paradise and areas outside of that area, outside of Sacramento. And you see these families on TV or in videos or whatever. And they're at they have resources all over the place, clothes and food and all kinds of stuff, volunteers. I love, love, love seeing that. Because what happens, you have a fire. This has happened to three friends of mine, different scenarios, with kids, without kids, and single. And each time it was what they had to go through is this. You don't have anything. So you don't have toothpaste, you don't have clothing, socks, you don't have, you know, as part of that, any of that. And it's lovely that people have just given so much so that people have clothes and things to wear. And the animals have food, all that kind of stuff, the shelters. But here's the sad part. So 56 people have died. 130 people are still missing. That's a lot of people. 130 people are still missing. Make sure I get that number right. You know, 52,000 had to be evacuated, and you've got over 1,300 in shelters, and then you have the people you can't find. And this is an area very close to Sacramento, like 90 miles or so, I guess is really the accurate number of miles away from Sacramento. And how difficult is this? So you have people that are searching for remains. So when people go back to see their homes, they could discover remains themselves, and they're worried about that. So on top of the shock and the grief and everything else, they could find bodies that would be, of course, burned, but how awful. And this is what's been terrible for all these responders who have gone in there, people that are helping, law enforcement, all that. So the winds are what really just got, you know, just killed these people. It just went up, and then all of a sudden it was on all sides of you, and you could hear, there were videos that people made who narrowly escaped, where you had that eerie sound of the popping of the tires, because, of course, the ground was on fire. And they were lucky to get out of there. And that's what happened to so many. They tried to get out and they couldn't get out. And then they couldn't run, because if they got out of the car, then they ran, and then they were on fire. It was it's just terrible. And they're trying to figure out what started it and everything else that happens when you have a fire. They're investigating it. And then you've got the Woolsey fire, and that is over 50% contained. That's the good news. The other part of the story is they're supposed to get some rain at the tail end of the week. We're getting close to that point. Let's really hope they get rain. That will help the situation, especially the Woolsey area, too, because then it can douse the flames. And you've got firefighters who are exhausted. You have people who've lost everything. And boy, oh boy, it just really makes you think, doesn't it? Take assessment of what's going on in your life. And I know a lot of you have tried to help people. I know you have donated things and you've written, and the Red Cross always asks for blood or this or that. But, you know, it's the things you don't think about, the everyday things like shampoo, all the elements that we have in our everyday life that you don't have, even water, et cetera, because now all of a sudden you're in an evacuated area where you are in a shelter, you are in sort of a tent city, some of these people, and that's what they're living with right now. And it's just frightening. It's frightening to go and see all the video that's out there, and frankly, and look at what happened there. It's just a beautiful, beautiful part of the country, and it's about the human toll more than anything else, and both in the north and in a different way in Southern California. We had my friend on, who Annie, a couple of nights ago, who had a 95-year-old mother that she had to evacuate that was scared to death, and they thought it was like Armageddon as they were driving away. Really, it was that bad. Now, for some of you traveling, be aware, if you're traveling early, you may be dealing with some delays, especially if you're flying, but maybe even driving, because there's a winter storm watch, nor'easter. 80 million people are in that area of the nor'easter that we're talking about, from Arkansas to Maine, and it's already started falling, the snow in some areas. It's bitter cold in other areas, but, you know, 4 to 8 inches in the northern mid-Atlantic and northeast, yeah, that's a lot. So there's people dealing with that. There's people that already have had some of that weather, and the accumulation is the thing. And then if there's freezing rain or there's ice, I-95 will be a nightmare from Washington to Boston if they get that cold rain and then the freeze. Something to be very, very, very much aware of. And I talked to two people in St. Louis today, and they're calling it Snowmageddon. The unusually high amounts, possibly 7-8 inches. Lots of people are not going to be driving into work in St. Louis if we're talking about that kind of snowfall. Just, you know, impossible, right? Unless you have a snow plow or a way to really, really dig out. Speaking of digging out, politically speaking, there are a few things happening at 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue and on the Hill, and the lawyer for Stormy Daniels, perhaps in a little bit of a storm himself. Hang with us, more coming your way on the flip side here on America Tonight.
It's been said, any society is only 3 missed meals away from chaos. Those times may be near. Think about it. Our country faces multiple terrorist threats and aggressions from Russia and North Korea. Social unrest and violent marches yet again may lead to looting of stores and city shutdowns. And a crumbling infrastructure leaves our power grid vulnerable to long-term outages from a single cyber attack. When the chaos from any one of these threats arises, the government knows it can't provide during a widespread national emergency. That's why you need your own plan for self-reliance. That's where My Patriot Supply comes in. Get a four-week survival food supply for only $99. That includes breakfast, lunches, and dinners. Order online at preparewithgcn.com. $99 for 4 weeks of survival food that tastes like homemade cooking and lasts up to 25 years from My Patriot Supply. Get your kits today at preparewithgcn.com. Free shipping is included. Preparewithgcn.com.
The United States of Empire is a book that claims the United States is the empire of the world. George Washington had warned us against foreign wars. The United States of Empire shows that World Wars I and II left England broken. Its former colony, the U.S., had to save the empire. Was there ever a vote? Who do we fight for? The Deep State began with World War I. The United States of Empire by James Dunn. Available at Amazon Books.
Would you like to get back that full head of hair from years past? Introducing Reveal from GCNLife.com. Beverly Hills dermatologist Dr. Nathan Newman invented Reveal, which contains polypeptides with natural botanicals and no parabens, sulfates, silicones, or dyes for a salon-quality hair growth product, Reveal. Here's Dr. Newman.
I've treated a lot of patients who lose their hair and they lose their confidence. We've created a unique set of polypeptides, which we call HPT6. The HPT6 contains the polypeptides from six different plants. The scalp infusion treatment should be used on wet or dry scalp. The Reveal hair care system is designed to be used for men and women alike.
Get Reveal at GCNLife.com with a 30-day money-back guarantee. So try Reveal today at GCNLife.com or 844-443-6637. Plus a discount up to 25% off for Reveal at GCNLife.com or 844-443-6637.
If you know Kate Delaney, then you know that her lovable golden retriever, Mahalo, makes her world go around. So when Kate started looking for a high-quality dog food for him, she settled on Life's Abundance, the all-stage grain-free food. It's rated 5 stars by Dog Food Advisor, and that's a win. In fact, Kate loved the food so much that she's now repping the food at kateskibble.com. It's full of high-quality protein and nutrients, omega-3s and more. Kateskibble.com is just what Mahalo needs to be happy and healthy. Grab a bag at kateskibble.com.
Because of Stormy Daniels, the woman who had a one-night stand with the president, Michael Avenatti, and then you're arrested in Los Angeles, but he's denying the domestic violence accusations. He's been a huge vocal critic of President Donald Trump, and he certainly rose to fame because he was the attorney for porn star Stormy Daniels. So he's arrested and booked. That happened on Wednesday. Hours after he's taken into custody, the same block where he lives in a skyscraper apartment in L.A., he posted $50,000 bail and denied any kind of wrongdoing. He said, I never struck a woman, I'll never strike a woman, and that he will continue to be advocates for women, an advocate for women's rights. He said this is completely bogus, and he said he wanted to thank the people of the police department for their professionalism. They were only doing their job. His ex-wife issued a statement of support through his law office saying he was a good man. He'd never been abusive to her or to anyone else. So now that makes you wonder, well, what's that all about? And there weren't great details about it. Just there was a tweet that came out of the LAPD. Did you know this? So when things happen, and I'm sure in your neighborhood, whether you have a you live in a small town or a medium-sized kind of city or a really big city, what happens is the world of Twitter breaks the news. So when something's going on, it'll be tweeted out, and this was tweeted out. It said, we can confirm that the LAPD detectives arrested Michael Avenatti on suspicion of domestic violence. It's an ongoing investigation. We'll provide more details as they become available. They have not become available as of yet. That has not happened, but a huge story, obviously. And he is very much in the news and was before, and now that's just going to ratchet up as to what are the details behind this, and is there more to it, or is it just exaggerated tales or fake news or whatever it could be, right? Let's move on to something else. I like to call this odds and ends because we don't pounce on enough of the, what I call, the rich content that's out there because, you know, we keep going through the same machinations that that hit the lead headlines, I'll call them, when we used to have headlines, hit the lead headlines. But this was a big story. So the top National Security Council official, Mira Ricardel, is leaving her position. She had a clash with Melania Trump, or I should say Melania Trump, which she did. Melania Trump came out and said that she shouldn't be in her position. So there was a statement that was issued, just that the president was grateful for her continued service to the people and her pursuit of his national security priorities. And so there was all this speculation about what would happen to Ricardel, and after the First Lady's office took a very unusual step of publicly calling for her to be ousted. But she was removed from the White House, but apparently she's going to be rearranged somewhere. That's the rumor. You know, she had been there since May. She came in with John Bolton, and so she was the number two person in the National Security Council. And she did have a reputation as kind of a bully, is what they were saying. So the blow-up was, I believe, over that. That's what people I know have told me, said that that's the reason why, that she was a strong-arm kind of person, and that didn't go over well with some people, including the First Lady. All right, if you wonder about polls and popularity and that kind of thing, President Trump saw his approval rating increase to 47%. This is a American Barometer poll, and it's conducted by Hill.TV and Harris X Polling, the two of them. They found 23% of voters said they strongly approved Trump, 24 said somewhat, 53 said they disapproved of the president, 37 they said they strongly disapproved, 17% say they somewhat disapproved, but 45% of voters say, and that's a big number, 45% of voters said they approved of the president before the contest, 55% said they disapproved. The Real Clear Politics polling average, because they take all these different polls, had the rating at 43, and that's where it stood after that. So Democrats, we already know this, got control of the House. Republicans maintain the Senate, so you would call it split, I guess. And it's interesting to look at those polls. When you're worried about re-election or you're the support people, you're constantly, you're on the campaign, you're constantly looking at the numbers, because you want to know where you have to be and who you have to win over or what are the hot button issues. You know, I could go on and on about that. It's just fascinating to me. And there's always that margin of error, you know, which is only usually a couple of points. You know, we could sit and talk about whether this is fair or foul, and we've done this before in America Tonight. We've had this debate about women in the military. But a female soldier actually completed the Special Forces assessment and selection for the first time in the history of the United States Army Special Forces, and that would be the Green Berets. Woohoo! They haven't revealed the identity because, of course, the mission, so probably not going to find out. But a female successfully completing that process, and I thought it was interesting, one of the quotes that I was reading by this Lieutenant Colonel Lauren Beimer, who said, "We're proud of all the candidates who attended, were selected to continue into the qualifying course in hopes of earning their Green Beret. We don't release the names. It's our policy of our service members because Special Forces soldiers perform discrete missions when they graduate." So that makes sense. Now, several women have tried to do that test and haven't been able to do it since the Department of Defense started accepting women for the special ops jobs in January 2 years ago. But this is pretty good. And this is a month after Defense Secretary James Mattis said the jury's out on the success of having women in combat roles. He said the sample size in the infantry is too small to determine how they're performing. And I agree with that. I mean, if there's not enough people to compare it, then how do you know it? And it's like he said, I inherited the policy and we're trying to get some more data points on it. But how can we when the sampling is just too small? Sometimes he'll take a rash of nonsense for that, but I think what he's saying is absolutely accurate. Anybody measuring any kind of data points knows that, well, you know, if you're talking about such a small sampling, how could you possibly know the effect or if it's working or any of that, because you just do not have enough of a sampling size. At one point, maybe that won't be the case, but it is right now. Meanwhile, as we kind of bounce around, this is just sort of an interesting thing that came up today. Somebody tweeted this to me saying, did you see what's happening with O'Rourke? And what's happening is he was invited to visit Iowa from the Democratic Party in Des Moines. So what does that mean? Well, you know, that's that whole road to 2020. This is always a big deal when you do that. They host the first presidential nominating contest, and they've said we would love to host him, and we want to host him. So O'Rourke has not responded to the invitation at this point, but if he does, then the press is on for, ooh, is he going to run? You know, there's all this speculation because who's going to run against Donald Trump? And we've heard the old guard and Joe Biden, Bernie Sanders. You've heard Cory Booker, Kamala Harris. I don't know. Who's it going to be? If I was the Democrats, if I were the campaign strategist, they were paying me the crazy amount of money that they pay these big brains in Washington to figure this stuff out, I would have had it set up by now. So I would have really tried to, because how do you go, I just told you some of the numbers. How do you go up against an incumbent? It's really tough when you think our last three presidents have been reelected. 2020 seems so far off, doesn't it? Ooh, 2020, even the sound of it. Hang with us here on America Tonight.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, the inventor of MyPillow, and like all of you out there, I had problems sleeping. Pillows would go flat, I would flip-flop all night long, I would wake up with a sore neck, maybe a headache, or feel like I needed a nap even though I slept 8 hours. When I invented MyPillow, I wanted it to where you could move the patented fill to give you the exact support you need as an individual, regardless of sleep position. MyPillow will get you into that deep REM sleep faster, and you will stay there longer. It's not about how much time we spend in bed, it's about how much of that quality sleep we get. I do all of my own manufacturing right here in the United States. I have a 10-year warranty. You can wash and dry my pillow, and I give you a 60-day money-back guarantee, so you have nothing to lose. And here's my best offer ever. You can buy one of my pillows and get one absolutely free.
Go to MyPillow.com or call 800-870-0305 and use promo code GCN. That's MyPillow.com or 800-870-0305 with promo code GCN.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
For USA Radio News, I'm Wendy King. The number of people killed in California's deadliest fire ever keeps rising. The Camp Fire in Northern California has now claimed 56 lives, and it's now 35% contained. Butte County Sheriff Corey Honey.
We currently have 130 people on our unaccounted for list.
KCBS's Holly Kwan is in Paradise, California.
It's not like an archaeological dig where you're sifting through the ash. You've got to be logical, methodical, trying to figure out where someone may have been. Search team leader Andrew Radivere.
We look in places, bathrooms, bathtubs, bedrooms, beds, driveways, cars, things where we would likely find people who were trying to shelter in place or flee.
Three people have also died in the Woolsey Fire in Southern California. You're listening to USA Radio News.
Are you tired of high cable TV rates? Sign up for Dish today and get a $500 bonus offer while supplies last. Plus, lock in your price for 2 years guaranteed. Call All-American Dish, your Dish authorized retailer now.
800-610-5739. 800-610-5739. That's 800-610-5739.
Offers require credit qualification, 24-month commitment, early termination fee, and auto pay. Restrictions apply. Call for details.
With a recession ending, if you've been putting off building your business, now is the time to act. General Steel will meet or beat any price on a pre-engineered steel building of the same size and specifications. Act now before steel prices go up. So call us today for free information.
Call 800-965-1290. 800-965-1290. 800-965-1290.
Hi, I'm Dr. Bill Deagle, MD, AAEM, ACAM, A4M, of NutraMedical.com, and a consultant providing email advice free on advanced protocols for your optimized wellness and advanced technologies to heal and regenerate you. You can contact us at NutraMedical.com, that's NutriMedical.com, or 888-212-8871. You get free email starter protocols of our top medical-grade nutraceuticals, initial testing, and recommendations for your own primary doctor to do, as well as recommendations to give you an idea of a consultation and a full protocol to try to help you regenerate your tissues, heal naturally without the use of toxic polypharmacy. I can send test kits to you as well anywhere in the world and provide you recommendations for referral of specialty clinics worldwide. So contact me, Dr. Bill Deagle, at NutriMedical.com. That's NutriMedical.com or 888-212-8871.
Welcome to Forbes Books at Bedtime with Kate Delaney and Greg Stebbin.
Wow, really thrilled to be here with someone who knows people and knows culture. I'm going to say that just having met her and had this like amazing conversation with her. Her name is Anne Rhodes. People Inc. is the company she is the president of. But think of flying and think of Southwest Airlines. Herb Kelleher, who blew my mind when I met him. I was like, I wanted to work with this man. Forget television. I don't need to be in radio and TV. And then, of course, one of the founders of JetBlue. And if you look at the back of her card, so you're all there in radio and this is theater of the mind, you would see Built on Values. Oh, that is killer, isn't it, Greg?
Yeah, what a great title for a book, Creating an Enviable Culture. Gee, does that remind you of any companies like Southwest Airlines and
yes.
JetBlue? Creating an Enviable Culture that Outperforms the Competition. We're at the Great Game of Business annual gathering of games conference in Dallas. Ann Rhodes is one of the speakers. And actually, I should be more specific, the keynote speakers. That's an important distinction. Ann, thanks so much for joining us here. Thanks for joining us here at the conference. And first of all, welcome. And tell us about the book and then go back in history to tell us how Southwest and JetBlue and other experiences you've had have helped you create the book and the movement that you're part of.
Well, thank you, and it's great to be here. And it's great to be part of the Great Game of Business Conference because I totally love what Jack Stack started in terms of a movement in the early 1990s, late 80s. And actually, I brought Jack to Southwest, and that's when we started incorporating a lot of what the Great Game of Business has as a premise. In other words, transparency and all the types of things that make for great organizations and, at the end of the day, great performance.
Yes.
But my history is with Southwest. I ran the people department because Herb and I couldn't stand in human resources and we couldn't spell personnel. So we called it people. We were one of the first.
Which is probably a much more accurate term anyway,
it is,
right? Since it's about
so simple.
People, right?
And so you really, there was really a movement with Southwest because the commercials, the way the flight attendants dressed, the attitude. I mean, you really paved the way. Still today, that's what people talk about with Southwest. And then that carried over to JetBlue, so you can see that. What was it like turning that into a culture, though, when they didn't have that before?
Well, actually, I got there after it started. So Herb had been there for a number of years. And once he came, the great new culture was defined, which was much more employee-centric and customer-centric, but employee-centric in particular. When I came, he asked me to put in a new hiring model because they were growing so fast. And I came out of banking, believe it or not, met him because he was on the board of the bank I was on, and he said, honey, you got to come work for a real company. It was really funny, so I came to work for Southwest.
Talk about a culture shift, though, from banking to... Not just, I mean, maybe it wouldn't be that big of a change from banking to airline, but from banking to Southwest. I mean,
oh,
it could not be more
different.
It was
a shock. Yeah. It took about 3 minutes for me to fall in love with it, though. It was great.
So you actually told us a story about Southwest and the impact of the ideas of great business that impacted it down to the peanut.
Right.
And just tell us that so people really understand how fundamentally powerful this can be.
So after Jack came and talked to us about how, now you have to know Southwest already had profit sharing. So we had some things in place that mm-hmm. Jack promotes and I totally believe is part of why they get the performance they have. But they have to get people engaged. So to get them engaged, telling them more about the numbers, even though we were a public company, was critical. So we started talking to our people about the numbers that they can relate to. So how much a bag of peanuts costs, 6 cents, and how much literally a day of health care costs. And we related it to six packs of beer because it was Southwest. So we started translating so that people would look at their health care bills and make sure that they were accurate. We started doing things to get them engaged in controlling costs. It was incredible. 1 year we saved almost 15% on some of the hospital costs because they had a lot of bills that actually had things that were not accurate in terms of what they had received. So we actually got them more engaged in the numbers. And then I went into DoubleTree Hotels and we started telling them what every piece of equipment cost. You would not believe the response. It was incredible.
I bet. So now, having done that, lived through it, really excelled at it, when you look at business today, what do you see as the weak spots and what can be improved?
I think leaders sometimes are hesitant to tell employees, for instance, when they're not doing as well, when in fact I think they need to know. And employees should know exactly what's going on financially because that's how you get them engaged. Today's environment, millennials, they want to participate. One of the main things about them is they want to have impact and they want to participate immediately.
Well, I think they also want to, they want transparency.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Yes.
And so at JetBlue, the first day you come to work, you spend the entire day learning how we calculate the numbers, the entire day, and guess who tells you? The CFO. Guess who spends the other half of the day telling you the values and the behaviors that are acceptable at that organization, and that's how we create this culture of behaviors around the values that is critically important for our success. They told us we would never survive. They told us that JetBlue at the time 3.2% unemployment in New York. This is 19 years ago. And that we also would never get the customers in New York to love us. We've got millions of loyal customers.
I think you proved them wrong.
Yeah, we're
talking with Ann Rhodes. She's one of the keynote speakers here at the Great Game of Business Annual Gathering of Games Conference in Dallas. Her book is Built on Values, forward by Stephen Covey. That's not bad. You got to write something pretty powerful to get Mr. Covey to write a forward. The subtitle of the book is Creating an Enviable Culture Like Southwest and JetBlue That Outperforms the Competition. You also have a company called People Inc. It's at peopleinc.com. Tell us about that.
So in 1999, I decided that we should create a company that would play forward all of these things that we've learned in working for great cultures. And so the first thing we did was we were asked by David Neilman to come, and I was asked to be one of the founding executives of JetBlue and put the model into place in a place like New York, and an airline. So we took the company to New York and we went inside the company and built JetBlue and formed what today is the culture. At Southwest, I came after the culture was started, but I got to impact it. But here we got to create it. And so People Inc. went and created, the team went to New York and created a very unique culture with all the learnings from Southwest and then some things we had read about Jack Stack's book, all the things that had influenced what I believe is creating a great values-based organization. So today we do it for various companies in all industries. We have a huge healthcare practice. But we literally talk to people about building a culture around values, behaviors that impacts performance. Just like Jack, I believe the culture, good cultures, impact performance. Of course, culture can impact it either way, right?
Well, that's right. I mean,
that's right.
There was no value to that.
That's
you better
right.
be important. You that's add right. the positive or the negative.
Yeah, absolutely. And you definitely are a pioneer, especially from the female perspective. So I've done a lot of research on this and women on paid boards. It's still very lacking, women in leadership, and there's some great potentials that could get there. What do you think it is? And I think there's companies want to embrace that more. So how do we bridge that gap?
So I believe women attract women. So, for instance, I'm on the Regis organization. It's a hair salon. We own hair salons all over the world. We have 40-plus thousand employees. We have 52 brands. And I got on the board after I finally resigned from Southwest, at JetBlue's board. After 15 years, I decided they needed new blood. But anyhow, I serve on Regis's board. I served on Restoration Hardware, P.F. Chang's. I've been on 4 public boards and 20 private boards.
You are 45% of all the women serving on board.
Well, what's so funny is I bring women on the board.
Yes.
So when I was on the JetBlue board, we actually brought 2 more women on the board. 3 women out of 9 directors.
Yeah. Wow.
We won awards for
it's,
it. But
it's not enough, but,
no,
it, but at
it's
the time
enough.
it was
it's
a breakthrough.
It's not enough. However, I don't think for the sake of having a woman, we should put them on the boards mm-hmm. either. I think what boards should be is composed of talent that hits all the areas that are impactful in an organization. So, for instance, at Regis, we needed someone who was a techie, who really understood technology and social media. And we brought Virginia Angambao, who is from my board at JetBlue. We got her into JetBlue, and now I brought her to Regis. I do think when women are on boards, they tend to have that set of people that they know would be great on the board that have
yes.
the talent.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't like doing anything for the sake of having a woman or having a diverse board.
It's not about tokenism.
It's not
yeah.
about tokenism right. because that doesn't work.
Yes.
And in fact, it really sets them up to fail. So
oh, yeah.
I totally do not believe in that.
I want to go back to something you said earlier about Jack Stack, Great Game, and millennials. You know, I look at what Jack has created and I think, in a way, he was just 35 years before his time, right? Because what he created is so perfect for what we hear are the characteristics of the millennial generation. And isn't it uncanny that it's been here all along?
Right.
And this is really a generation that can embrace it. Can you kind of look back and see an evolution of us as a workforce that makes what millennials want today make sense, given where we've been and how we got here?
Oh, I have always thought that what they want is what every employee has wanted for forever. They're just more vociferous about
they have the courage to ask for it.
That's right.
Yeah.
I think we've always wanted to have impact. We've always wanted to be part of building a great culture within an organization. I think we give credit to millennials when, in fact, I think they are like many generations of workers. We wanted to participate in the company. We want to know what's going on. We want truthful dialogue, transparency. I don't think that's new. I think it's new that we're talking about it finally because the millennials are talking about it a lot.
Oh,
and frankly, they can move. The other thing is it's an environment where they don't think they have to stay somewhere
yes.
5, 10, 15, 20 years.
Right.
They
5, 10,
are going to walk.
Months.
We have to keep them engaged.
Yes.
If we want to keep good players.
Yep, perfect place to end this. Ann Rhodes, we could talk all day long. President of People Inc., Built on Values, the foreword of the book by Stephen Covey. Amazing, the late, great Stephen
get
Covey.
The book.
Thanks
fantastic.
So much.
Fantastic,
yeah.
fantastic book.
Appreciate it.
there was a social media network only for the conservative?
What if there was a social media network not only for the conservative right general public, but also a platform for conservative politicians and advertisers?
And what if the social media network was the only free speech network in existence?
There is. It's RightSocial.net.
RightSocial.net, a response to President Donald Trump's direct presidential order.
RightSocial.net, where you have the right to freely speak your mind.
RightSocial.net,
the right place to be.
Trading involves financial risk and is not suitable for all investors.
Marijuana has unleashed a green gold rush across our nation. It's creating $10.8 billion in new wealth a year. And every day, it's transforming more and more Americans into millionaires. Former Speaker of the House John Boehner reveals how you could become one of them. Join him online for the American Cannabis Summit. Attendance is 100% free, but space is limited. Join online at www.acs2018.com. John Boehner and an esteemed panel will reveal which cannabis stocks are primed to deliver life-changing windfalls. Plus, they will show you how to become a cannabis angel investor, backing the hottest startups before they potentially become worth billions of dollars.
To join the American Cannabis Summit, visit acs2018.com or text JOIN to 76280. Don't miss this once-in-a-lifetime opportunity. Text JOIN to 76280. Text JOIN to 76280 now.
Epigenetics and the Sins of the Father. GodSaidManSaid.com. U.S. colleges, new mental institutions. Close Satan's secret door. GodSaidManSaid.com. Mummies and the Sons of Ham. Alcohol and Christians. Geologists say yes to crucifixion. GodSaidManSaid.com. Which religion? Which Bible? Quantum physics to Adam's rib. Hours of text and streaming audio. GodSaidManSaid.com.
Extendivite is more than just a heart tonic. Do you have any of these symptoms? Night cramps in the hands and feet. Your arms and legs often go to sleep. On short walks, do your legs get aches and pains? Is your memory worse than it used to be? Ankles that swell late in the day? Has your blood pressure increased lately? If you answered yes to even one of these questions, you may have early warning signs of arterial blockages. Your body is saying that it is time to take Extendivite. These are not the normal signs of aging. They are the warning signs that accompany blocked arteries. Get your Extendivite today. Extendivite is available in capsule or liquid form for just $69.95 for a 2-month supply. To get started, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
He's written a book called Healing and Transformation, Moving from the Ordinary to the Extraordinary. And wait till we dive into this. You are going to love it. So pay attention. Eric, thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you. It's a pleasure to be with you today.
So the title is great. I mean, it really grabs you. I'm just going to ask the broad question first. How do we truly move from the ordinary to the extraordinary?
It's about relinquishing our egos, not only our psychological ego, but also our spiritual ego. And they come into existence because we all experience emotional wounds and traumas, whether minor or greater. And in the process of doing that, the egos form. Now, the egos do have a useful function. They protect us from doing destructive or stupid things. But on the other hand, they can limit us and keep us from expanding and growing. And life is meant to be joyful. We're meant to walk the path of joy. And in doing that, we have to learn how to relinquish the ego so that we can begin the process of moving forward to creating our lives as masterpieces of joy.
This is powerful stuff. And, you know, walking the path of joy, anyone listening to this, I guarantee, who doesn't want to do that? And it's a tough thing to do, to relinquish the ego. And you said it, you need it for protection in certain ways, but to walk that joy, that path of joy, you have to relinquish it. So give us some tips or some ideas on how we can start to do that.
Well, part of the process is to learning how to be still and go within. We live hectic and busy lives, and our mind likes to fill itself with all kinds of chatter and thoughts. And we find diversions and things like television and the like. And what we have to learn how to do is to just go silently within and begin to contemplate our lives, what's going right, what's going wrong, and how we can change things. And then in certain cases, we have to begin to explore all the healing technology that's available to us, whether it's self-help books, getting into some kind of counseling or therapy, or finding a religious tradition that emphasizes the positive and not is fear-based and negative. And in doing those things, we begin to learn how to let go of the ego and the negative aspects of the ego and begin to walk a path of joy. With our current technology and availability on the internet especially, the thoughts and ideas that were once allowed for a select few are now available to all of us. And if you're guided, you can find things that will help you to move forward. And since there are no coincidences in life, you're able to find the path that you're directed to begin the process of doing this.
And we're speaking with Eric Alsterberg. The book is called Healing and Transformation, Moving from the Ordinary to the Extraordinary. You are, I'm sure, going to rush out and pick this up when you're listening to this and talking about hanging on to. That's why I said this is such a great topic, subject, etc. And it's been your life's work, and you've seen this in dealing with people. If you can just get there, it really is. It really does open up everything to you, right? Because you know how to get through whatever the hurdles are that are thrown your way when you can walk that path of joy, right?
Yes. And the process helps guide you even further to moving forward. So as I go forward in the book, I talk about how to relinquish the ego and truly walk the spiritual path. And the spiritual path is complete forgiveness, and most importantly of yourself, complete non-judgment, and unconditional love. And although those sound very simple, they're actually very hard to do. But it is possible to do it. And in doing that, you really begin to manifest that path of joy that we're talking about.
Yeah, and you talk about non-judgment, and that's one of the harder things, isn't it? Because of the world we live in, because of how we are raised and how we look at things through whatever lens that is. Part of that is, isn't it going back and just relinquishing, like you said, forgiving yourself and just letting go of all of that fear?
It is. And it's amazing, in working with my clients, the thing that they find the hardest to do is to forgive themselves. So one of the dangers with our egos is that we continually punish ourselves and feel that we have fallen short. And in fact, if you understand God and unconditional love, he's already forgiven us. So in our ego, we say, well, God's forgiven us, but we can't forgive ourselves. And that's the furthest from the truth.
So somebody starts on this journey, and you said it, you've worked with so many people and you've seen this over the years. Is that what drove you to write the book? Because you knew, hey, I've got this key and it's all coming together. To me, it's like you're a great puzzler and you've put the pieces together. Does it feel like that? Is that why you really wanted to share this with everyone?
It is. And part of it was, as I increasingly walked the metaphysical path as well as the work I do with clients, I began to put all together the thoughts about this and give people the idea about how they may do it for themselves as well.
What do you think is that, and you talked about it, whether it's self-help books, and of course the stillness is so important, and the various specific tools in doing this that you talk about in your book, but what do you think is the first thing that someone really has to do as they try to decide, okay, how am I going to tackle this?
Well, the first step is just to be honest with yourself that life isn't always gone as well as we'd like, and that we get trapped in defensive systems and ways of thinking that interfere with our ability to move forward. And so we live lives of quiet misery rather than seeing that there really is the possibility to move forward and create joy in our lives. A great example is when we have that first rejection in our teen years of our first love, and so we make a decision at the ego level that we're never going to trust anybody again and never let anybody get that close to us. And so we stay trapped in that quiet misery rather than seeing that taking a risk and really truly finding and experiencing love, no matter what the outcome may be, is really the way to go. And so as we learn how to do that, to take risks, to take chances, to climb that mountain, we begin to see that we really can have a much better lifestyle for ourselves.
Yeah, and you mentioned this in talking about that with you, too. You've really opened up a lot of doors through the metaphysical path. And it's interesting because more people are starting to gravitate toward this. I think a long time ago, decades ago, there was somewhat a hesitancy for some people. But why is that such a great way to go?
Because once you realize is that there's a larger truth and a larger reality than what our five senses say exists and what the collective consciousness, which is now shifting, by the way, says is reality. So as people have learned to experience deja vu experiences, as they've learned to experience seeing somebody in a crowd and feeling like they know them, and that person looks at you like you know them, and when you start to see near-death experiences being recounted, all these things lend themselves to a larger reality that we can begin to tap into. And that's where the relinquishing of the spiritual ego becomes very helpful as well.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, absolutely. And the book is called Healing and Transformation, Moving from the Ordinary to the Extraordinary. I'm wondering, because right away I'm thinking about a sequel. Are you planning a sequel?
I am. I've already been formulating some ideas about how we can then further take this relinquishing of our egos into a more spiritual path of life and into different levels of consciousness. We live in a world that believes in a 3D consciousness, and in reality, there's other levels of consciousness, and we can begin to move into those as well and more walk the spiritual path and experience what it is to be truly aligned with our God self, our higher self.
Wow. I can't wait for that, I got to tell you. But this book is phenomenal. What do you hope people take away from this, Eric?
That they really begin to understand and see that there's more to life, that they can really begin to walk a pathway of joy and experience life at higher and higher levels of happiness and joy. What I do in the book is I talk about learning how to create balance in our lives, how to heal ourselves at all levels, physically, mentally, emotionally, and spiritually, that there's really a real masculinity, that it's important for the return of the feminine in our lives and how to have healthier relationships. And I also have a chapter on the sacred responsibility of parenting, because I think that's the most important job in the world, is being a parent.
Absolutely, I agree. Pick up the book, Healing and Transformation, Moving from the Ordinary to the Extraordinary. Eric Alsterberg, my pleasure to talk to you. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
If you know Kate Delaney, then you know that her lovable golden retriever, Mahalo, makes her world go around. So when Kate started looking for a high-quality dog food for him, she settled on Life's Abundance, the all-stage grain-free food. It's rated 5 stars by Dog Food Advisor, and that's a win. In fact, Kate loved the food so much that she's now repping the food at kateskibble.com. It's full of high-quality protein and nutrients, omega-3s and more. Kateskibble.com is just what Mahalo needs to be happy and healthy. Grab a bag at kateskibble.com.
In these uncertain times, it makes sense to have a sustainable backup method to cook food and boil water. If your current plan includes using a fuel-burning stove or cooking over an open fire, then there's a much better way. The Minuteman Rocket Stove is a biomass-burning cooking stove that only requires small quantities of sticks and twigs for fuel. The Minuteman Stove is easy to use, smokeless, portable, powerful, and sustainable. For the finest in survival cooking stoves and fire starters made right here in the USA, go to MinutemanStove.com. That's MinutemanStove.com.